command the children of Israel, that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The eternal life. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Life. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today is Morton Wishengrad's The Postmaster of Quincy and features Roger DeCoven as Abraham Jonas.
Quincy, Illinois, 1861. May 5th, 1861. It should have been a good day for lawyer Abraham Jonas.
Seems to be all here, Senator. Reckon you can start.
Ready, Mr. Jonas?
Yes, Senator.
Mrs. Jonas, you can stand by your husband's side if you wish.
Thank you, Senator.
The White House. Washington, D.C., dated April 29, 1861. I hereby commission my good friend, Abraham Jonas, to discharge the duties of postmaster in the city of Quincy, state of Illinois. Signed, E. Lincoln. Raise your right hand, Mr. Jonas.
Excuse me, Senator. I was hoping my sons would be here to see me take the oath.
No one on the street, Mr. Jonas. Reckon Charlie Ned ain't coming.
Take another look, Sam, will you?
Not a soul on the street.
All right, Senator. I'll take the oath.
You, Abraham Jonas, promise faithfully to uphold the Constitution of the United States?
I do.
And to discharge the duties of your office to the best of your ability?
I do.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. Postmaster.
Yes, thanks, Senator. Sam, any sign of Charlie or Ed?
No, sir. Congratulations, Mr. Postmaster.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks very much.
Charlie Jonas, I'm waiting for you.
Ed, I'm telling you again, don't wait.
Charlie, it's your own father who's being sworn in.
I'm not going, Ed.
Look here, Charlie, this isn't a matter of politics. It's father.
I'll stay here.
You know what this is going to do to Father.
Ed, you're wasting your time.
I'm not asking for myself.
I'm not going.
Why don't you stop being a stubborn Confederacy fool?
Ed Jonas, don't you say that again.
All right, I won't, but you remember that your name is Charlie Jonas and not Jefferson Davis. Now, you want to stop being a fool?
Ed, if you say that once more, I'll punch your face.
Look, Charlie, stop thinking with your emotions. You're Confederacy. Father and I are Union. Even if Illinois is divided, our house can't be, Charlie. Think of Father, this house.
Ed, I didn't start this.
Well, we won't argue about it. Not here, anyhow. Let's forget it. What do you say? Come on, Charlie, shake.
Not me.
Charlie, you don't mean that.
That's what I mean.
No, you can't. I wasn't going to tell you, but I will. My regiment leaves tonight. I know how you feel about that, but we're still brothers, Charlie. Shake.
I don't shake hands with abolitionist Union Army officers.
Oh, for heaven's sake, this isn't a debate. Charlie Jonas, I'm your brother.
I don't shake hands with abolitionists.
I take it back. You're a fool.
I told you not to say that.
And you're not an ordinary fool. You're a simple...
Why, you...
Don't ever do that again, Charlie.
I told you not to say that.
Charlie Jonas, you've gone crazy.
Maybe.
You have. Plain crazy.
You've said that before.
I'm bigger than you, Charlie. If I hit you... I'll kill you.
Try it, abolitionist.
Don't make me, Charlie. Don't make me hit my own brother.
I'm willing to forget about that.
No. You're not an ordinary fool. You're a stupid, fanatic, idiotic fool.
Wait!
twice, Charlie. If that's how you want it, all right. Father used to say that with some people, knowledge enters only after you break the skin. Charlie Jonas, I'm going to find out.
Oh, no, you don't. I'll show you.
You call me a fool. You don't have a message.
Oh, Father. Mother. Charlie and me, we...
I don't want explanations. Louisa.
Yes?
Please go to the kitchen and fetch a basin of warm water for your son.
Charlie and I... Father, Charlie and I... We're sorry, Father.
Sorry? Don't be sorry. You're my sons, grown men. You're the boys who used to stand by my side. You're the boys who used to sing the prayer in A Matu, Manoim, Sheves, Achim, Gam Yochad. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head.
You're not eating, Ed.
No, Mother.
You're not either, Charlie. You haven't touched a thing.
Food's all right, Mother. I just don't feel like eating.
I saw your bags back in the hall. Your bags out there?
Yes, Father. The regiment leaves tomorrow. I'm joining them tonight, right away. Mother, I was going to tell you.
It's all right. I expected it.
I think it's better if I go now. Doesn't seem to be much point in waiting.
No, Ed. No point at all.
Father, before I go...
Yes?
When I was a boy, on a Sabbath evening, you used to place your hands on my head.
Well, this isn't the time for it. Besides, you're a man now.
Please, place your hands on my head.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. Yoer Adonai Pono Velecho Vihuneko. May the Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yeso Adonai Pono Velecho Yosin Lecho Shalom. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thanks, Father. Mother, I'll write as soon as I can. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right.
Charlie, your brother's leaving.
I know.
You're going to... Charlie, you're going to...
No. No, I'm not going to, Father.
Goodbye, Mother.
Goodbye, Ed.
Goodbye, Father. Goodbye, Ed.
Jonas, I want to talk to you.
Here I am, Senator. Talk away.
No, no, not out here, Jonas. In your office.
All right. Cigar?
Thank you.
Well, Senator?
Good cigar, Jonas.
All right.
Mighty good cigar. How's Louisa?
She's all right.
How's Charlie?
I don't feel particularly well, Senator. I wish you'd say it, whatever it is.
Yes, I'm coming to it, Jonas. How often does your son Ed write home?
Twice, sometimes three times a week.
And he writes about his regiment, doesn't he?
What are you driving at?
That regiment is made up of Illinois boys, Jonas. Your son, my son, and a lot of others. We wouldn't want anything to happen to those boys, would we?
Go on, Senator. I'm listening.
This came from Washington. It was intercepted. The man who was carrying it is now in prison. Read it, Jones.
The 44th Illinois in train for southern Pennsylvania on May the 6th. Troops number 24.
Charlie's handwriting.
No.
Abe Jonas, you make him out a poor liar.
Charlie couldn't do this, not my son.
That's what I wrote to Washington. But I think maybe you'd better have a talk with him. What do you think?
Yes, sir. Talk to him. Right now. This your handwriting?
Where did you get it?
This your handwriting?
Yes, Father.
Give you 20 minutes to pack your things.
Father, I want to explain.
You're wasting time.
You've got to give me a chance to explain.
That's 10 seconds you
wasted. I did what I was ordered to do. Let me explain.
Get out of this house.
I'm your son.
Charlie Jonas, you're dead.
Don't say that, Father.
I have only one son. He's a soldier, not a betrayer.
I'm a soldier, too.
Get out.
No, sir. Not before I say what I have to say. You can slap my face, you can hit me, you can cut me into pieces. I'll say what I have to say, Father. I'm a soldier. Charles H. Jonas, Lieutenant, 12th Arkansas Regiment, assigned to Confederate intelligence. My orders were to report troop movements before joining my regiment. Why do you think I couldn't shake Ed's hand? He's your son and he's my brother. But he's also my enemy. What do you think I am? Do you think it was easy for me? Do you think I wanted to do it? You think I didn't hate myself every minute?
Get out of this house.
Father, I was obeying my orders.
Leave this house.
You don't understand. I've put a uniform on now. It's like coming out of prison. I'm glad to go.
For the last time, get out.
Yes. Yes, I'm getting out. I thank God for it. Father, I'm your son. You said a blessing for my brother. Say it for me.
I have only one son. His name is Ed. My son Charlie is dead.
Don't say that, Father. Don't say it. Give me your blessing.
Iskadal viskadash me rabo.
Not the prayer for the dead.
Violmo divro herusei viamlich malhusei. V'chai hon v'yomechon.
Father!
Glad to see you, Mr. Jonas.
I'm glad to be here, Rabbi. These days, this place is my only consolation.
I've only a moment. The services are going to begin at once. But I have to talk to you about your husband.
He's sick, Rabbi. He's taken to his bed.
I know. Mrs. Jonas, he's done a terrible thing. He's taken vengeance upon his son. It's wrong. It's a sin against God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
He won't let anyone speak of Charlie.
I'm going to see him.
No, Rabbi. Abraham Jonas is sick. Sick and bitter and old. Leave him alone.
Rabbi, the cantor is waiting.
In a moment, Dickon. Mrs. Jonas, I must tell
Please,
you that...
Please, Rabbi. The synagogue is my only consolation now. Don't spoil it for me. Maybe in time my husband will... Time heals a lot of things. Right now, I want to pray.
I'm sorry. You're quite right. Jacob... Motion for the cantor to begin. How many weeks is it now, Mrs. Jonas?
It's 3 months, Rabbi. No word from Charlie, and my husband is worse.
Congratulations, Mrs. Jonas. I hear your son Ed's been named a major. It's a fine present for Hanukkah.
Is it? I hardly know anymore. Rabbi, It's 6 months now, and we haven't heard from Charlie. My husband is shriveling up in his bed. Just shriveling up, Rabbi.
Ah, dear ho, even am I so becar of him her own.
Passover this year seems lonely, Rabbi. So lonely without the boy.
How is your husband?
Worse. It's the thought of Charlie. He never mentions Charlie's name. Oh, but you can see it in his eyes, and it's devouring him. Rabbi, he can't last much longer.
Hey, well, now, you look fine today, Jonas.
You're a worse liar than I am, Doctor.
Nothing of the sort. Here. Let's have a look at your ankle.
Headache, dizziness, faintness, flashes of light, pain in my left arm. After 3 years, I know all the symptoms, Doctor. Besides, I stole a medical book from your bag. I'm trying to develop the other symptoms the book mentioned.
Good heavens, Jonas.
If you'll explain what capillary pulsation is, I'll go to work on that.
Oh, you mustn't joke.
It's my life, what's left of it. Not much you can do except joke about it, is there, Doctor?
Abraham, is there anything you want to tell me?
Nothing you can help, Doctor.
No?
No. A man like me struts around in his own ego and thinks he's a pillar of society. Then he takes to his bed like me and gets a chance to hold a mirror up to his own self-proclaimed virtue. Doctor, it doesn't look so good.
Charlie.
Uh-huh. This is the first time I've let you mention his name, isn't it? I cursed him. I refused to give him my blessing. I think at the moment I confused myself with the prophet Jeremiah, and I confused the prophet with God.
Abraham, Charlie isn't with the 12th Arkansas any longer.
What is it, Doctor?
Oh, he's all right. Believe me, he's fine.
Doctor, where's my son? What happened to him?
Well, he's a prisoner of war in the Union Army prison camp at Johnson's Island, Lake Erie.
Thank God. I need him, Doctor. I must have him.
Yeah, that's what I thought. A letter has been sent to the commandant on Johnson's Island. It asks him to parole Charlie in my custody for a few days.
Does Louisa know?
Mrs. Jonas wrote the letter.
Doctor, there are things a man needs in order to live. There are also things a man needs in order to die. Whatever I've been, whatever sins I've committed, I ask God only to let me see my son again, that's all. Louisa, what's keeping that confounded doctor?
He'll be right in. Here, let me give you a third pillow for your head.
Two pillows are enough. Let me be. Just bring that doctor in.
You're exciting yourself.
Louisa, look at me. Charlie isn't coming.
No.
The commandant of Johnson's Island refuses to give the parole?
Yes.
Get my clothes, Louisa.
Oh,
get my clothes. Help me put them on. I'm going to Johnson's Island. I can give Charlie my blessing there.
Here, back on that bed, Jonas. Where do you think you're going?
Going to Charlie.
You'll never get beyond the railroad station.
I've got to see him.
Jonas, if you don't calm yourself, you'll never see another day.
Doctor, the Secretary of War has authority to grant the parole, hasn't he, Doctor?
Aye, Mr. Stanton has. But it's no good.
But we can try, can't we?
We have tried, Mrs. Jonas. I telegraphed the senator. Mr. Stanton refuses.
Doctor, Mrs. Murphy is a fine nurse, isn't she?
Eh? Of course.
And she's not on the case right now, is she?
No.
Doctor, please ask Mrs. Murphy to come right over. I'm going to take the train to Washington.
But Mrs. Jonas, Mr. Stanton refuses the parole.
I'm not going to Mr. Stanton. I'm going to Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Hayes, what did the president tell you?
Mr. Lincoln is very busy, Mrs. Jonas.
Oh, I've got to see him, Mr. Hayes. I cannot go back to Quincy before I see him. I must.
Mrs. Jonas, I've already spoken to the president about your husband. He was distressed to hear that an old friend is dying.
Then you see me?
No, but he gave me this. You may read it, Mrs. Jonas.
Allow Charles H. Jonas, now a prisoner of war at Johnson's Island, a parole of 3 weeks to visit his dying father. A. Lincoln.
The telegram has already been sent. Your son is on his way home. The president has asked me to say that he hopes it will not be too late.
That you, Charlie?
It's me, Father.
I'm glad you came.
Your face is damp. Let me wipe it for you.
I had to see you. Will you forgive me?
Forgive you? No, it's I who need forgiveness.
We'll call it quits, then.
All right, Father.
That's all. That's all I wanted to hear. It's very good.
Father, once you said the mourner's prayer for me.
Now you'll say it for me. Paradox. I wonder if in all the books of the Talmud there's a record of a similar case.
That isn't what I meant.
I know, Charlie.
Do you, Father?
You'll have to bend your head. I can't sit up.
Yes, Father.
My hand is upon your head. Just as when you were a little boy.
Say it, Father. Say it for me.
I say it for you, Charlie. Yevarechacho Adonai v'yishmerecho. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Yo'er Adonai pono v'elecho v'yuchonecho. May the Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yisor Adonai pono v'elecho. Yosim l'cho shalom. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
If you would like a free copy of the script just heard, as well as of the talk which follows immediately, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now, we present Rabbi Arya Lev, Executive Director of the Committee on Navy and Army Religious Activities of the National Jewish Welfare Board, speaking from Washington. Rabbi Lev.
The spirit and background of Abraham Lincoln, whose birthday we will celebrate this week, can never be overemphasized. He knew that man was created in the image of God, and that the image of God was reflected in every human face. To treat a man like an animal, to buy and sell a man, was to insult God. In our days, many men have so portrayed God. Lincoln would have joined with Isaiah, whom he greatly admired and would have prescribed the religious obligation of this generation to be, to loose the fetters of wickedness, to undo the bonds of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him and hide not thyself from thine own flesh. the Jewish chaplains in World War II fulfilled this obligation. Writing of the tremendous task which had fallen to the Jewish chaplains in the American armed services, and to which they responded with devotion and amazing results, Rabbi Lee Levenger, in a pamphlet entitled Chaplains to the Rescue, says, quote, "They were the emissaries of world Jewry to the victims of Nazi persecution. They reorganized broken communities. They rescued wanderers by the roadside. They entered the concentration camps with words of comfort on their lips. And they followed up these words with all the material things which they could provide, and with much which no person could have expected of them. The men who wore the Star of David and the tables of the law as part of their uniform brought by their very presence a pride and a hope to the hidden, the fearful, and the starving. They were greeted as the messiahs of their people, and they lived up to that exalted call so far as men are able," unquote. During the emergency, chaplains became statesmen, physicians, and social workers, depending upon the situation. As the sole representatives of world Jewry at that time and place, they rose magnificently to the occasion. The work they accomplished for the pitiful remnants of European Jewry, the survivors of the concentration camps, is a tale to bring pride to Jewry in America. They rekindled in the hearts of the unfortunate the eternal light. There is much still to be done. Only the interim task was accomplished by the chaplain. Now the civilian ministers and leaders must take over. Now the words of Isaiah and Lincoln apply to us. The remnant must still be clothed and fed. The remnant still requires a home, and even more a homeland. This is our religious and moral obligation. We must dedicate ourselves personally to this task with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might.
Thank you, Rabbi Lev. Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Katims. Appearing as Abraham Jonas was Roger DeCoven. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical music. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program is brought to you each week by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, through the cooperation of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you would like a free copy of today's script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.